Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the final round, the final hour of this week of Deprogram here on TNT. And I'm going to be joined in just a second by Mike Zhao. He is a Republican candidate for the Florida House District 45. He's also the author of a book called Critical Race Theory and Woke Culture, America's Dangerous Repeat of China's Cultural Revolution. And Mike should know, he survived Communist China's Cultural Revolution, and he's now living in America and thriving. And we're going to talk all about that. Before we get to that, we got to return to this whole Mar-a-Lago story, and we'll get Mike's take on this as well. Earlier, I asked you what a skiff was. Did any of you guys figure out what that is? Show of hands. Digital show of hands around the room. Oh, I see a couple in the back who think they know. Somebody's over there trying to sneak out for a smoke. No, get back in here. Okay, skiff. So a skiff is a sensitive, compartmented information facility. A military, national security, national defense, intelligence parlance. It's an enclosed area within a building that is used to process sensitive, compartmentalized information. And they can be permanent. They can be temporary. They can be set up in buildings. Well, guess where one was? There was one in Mar-a-Lago. So these types of facilities, I've not heard anything about this. If somebody has mentioned it, I didn't hear it, because all this talk about, you know, Trump having these documents and, you know, they're unprotected and they're just floating around the house, you know, and now they're going to try to charge him with espionage, which I don't think any of this is going to happen. It's just to soak up time and soak up bandwidth. But it's just interesting because I found these articles from back in 2019, that talked about this. And if you go on Wikipedia and you look up what is a SCIF, S-C-I-F, on the little sidebar, it says, when Donald Trump became president in 2017, a skiff was set up at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, which he referred to as his winter White House. And so my point is, there was a very secure area within Mar-a-Lago where Trump could have kept these documents. Now, were these documents classified, or did he declassify them? I don't know. Were there any nuclear documents that they're trying to say was the reason behind this? I seriously doubt that. And if they were so concerned about nuclear documents, wouldn't you have dealt with this earlier? Would you let it go a year and a half? Kind of like you deal with Hillary's server or a Hunter Biden laptop. Is that what you would have done? No. If you thought that he had something that you could have taken from him that you wanted very badly, you would have jumped on it really quickly. This is all a show. And, you know, they're on a witch hunt, just anything they can do to slow this man down, to hopefully prevent him from running, they're going to do. And what I would say is they've made a huge gamble here. And it's a gamble I think they're going to lose. And I think a couple of people are going to take the fall for it, who I've already said. Certainly, they're not the ones behind it. Merrick Garland, I think, and this character that's the magistrate judge down there, who already is red meat for a lot of people because, you know, he once defended Jeffrey Epstein's employees, which I was listening to my friend Peter Duke's show the other day, and he had a guest on there who thinks that's just kind of red meat for the right. I don't disagree with that. I think it's more likely that they used him because he's probably compromised. So when this thing doesn't play out and we got to throw a couple of people under the bus, I think those are the guys who get thrown under the bus. Not that anything's going to happen to them, but it'll look like something happened and we could talk about it on television. Meanwhile, we don't really know exactly what happened here, but I do think that Trump most likely saw this coming and he knew that this would probably happen one day. He's not a stupid man. And he probably knew exactly how it would go down and was prepared for that. He doesn't seem overly concerned to me. You know, he's talking big words, saying, you know, Gestapo tactic, et cetera, which is not necessarily completely wrong. But on the other hand, I was watching a clip from CNN. They're scared to death that this is going to blow up on them and it's just going to make him more popular. And I think that, I think that's exactly what's happened, because a lot of people that were on the fence who might not have been wanting to vote for him, well, now they're like, to hell with it. No, we're voting for Trump because so, and I think that CNN knows in this particular clip, I was going to play it, but it's like 3 to 5 minutes, so I don't want to do that. But the borderline, there was a little round table, and these guys were discussing how really this all plays in his favor. So despite all the scare talk, the espionage, the nukes, the all that, I don't think anything's going to come out of it. I could be wrong. This is high octane speculation on my part, but I do know that there was a skiff in Mar-a-Lago, and that's where you keep things secure. This is TNT. We'll be right back in just a second with Mike Zhao.
Opinions fact checked.
If we don't speak up now, nothing's going to change.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in this hour, I'm very pleased to have on the show Mike Zhao. He is a important Asian thought leader. He's a businessman. He is now running for the Republican as a Republican candidate for the Florida House District number 45. He's recently written a book called Critical Race Theory and Woke Culture, America's Dangerous Repeat of China's Cultural Revolution. And this is a man who knows what he's talking about. He grew up in China. They treated his father terribly. And he's going to tell us all about some unfortunate parallels he sees between China and the United States. Greetings, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you here, and you're coming to us from Florida. Which part of Florida?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida. Well, before we get into your story and your book and all of these things, I just got to get your take on the Mar-a-Lago situation. What do you think of all this?
You know, I was shocked. It reminded me what happened during the Cultural Revolution, when Chinese dictator Chairman Mao wanted to, you know, destroy his opponent. He launched like a social unrest by like Red Guards and tortured his political opponent, President Liu Shaoqi, to death, right? And as this is a country, you know, suppose we should treat our political opponent with respect. But using weaponized Department of Justice, weaponized FBI, is, you know, remind me just living in back in China.
Mike, I don't know how we're left with any other interpretation. That's certainly what it looks like. And in the previous hour, I had an economist on. We were talking about this new Inflation Act where we're going to get 87,000 new IRS agents who may potentially be armed. I mean, this sounds, people are using, I've never heard the term banana republic so much in like a 48 or 72 hour period, but that's what I'm hearing now. And the people around you, do they think the same thing that you and I think, or is that how they're interpreting this event?
Yeah, absolutely. It's also a great concern from our side and from many people, you know. I think we should not really like increase the IRS, you know, to try to really make our government more like bigger, more intrusive. What we need is to create the pie, just like what President Trump did, have a booming economy, have like a technology leadership in the world, right? So we need to grow the pie instead of like, you know, grow the government, you know, force. That is my take on it.
That's what I think. Well, let's talk about you. You're running for the Florida House, and you're running as a Republican. You are a successful businessman. You ran a company called Seaman Energy, I believe. And now, you know, you've written books. But tell us about how you started out. Now, you grew up in China. They treated your dad very badly before you guys immigrated here. Tell me about Mike.
Sure. I grew up in communist China. During the Cultural Revolution, my father suffered political persecution. He was tortured, lost freedom, endured forced labor, but this tragedy did not stop there. You know, it expanded to my grandparents. They used to be landlords. They were forced to relocate, you know, from cities to like mountains. And then at that time, my grandfather already disabled with eyesight of 20 out of 200. My grandma already had a heart attack, that kind of symptom, but the revolutionary rebels, the communists, still forced them to the mountain. You know, I followed them. I was, when I was 6 years old, I was the oldest like grandson in the family. I went there taking care of them. But like a few months later, my grandma passed away. And then ever since that, we had like a huge debt in extreme poverty, all kinds of sufferings. And then years later, my mom also died prematurely. But like about 30 years ago, you know, Deng Xiaoping launched economic reform, restored college education. And so in 1992, I came to America with less than $200 in my pocket. But I worked very hard and I became director of global planning at Siemens Energy. I've been doing like the strategic planning, merger acquisition, you know, a lot of, you know, very important tasks, you know, take leadership roles there. So, but after I achieved my American dream, I have been writing in like in National Review, in Washington Examiner, in Daily Caller, fighting against socialism, critical race theory, censorship. Also, like since 2014, I have been leading Asian American nationwide, fighting against the race-based affirmative action by Harvard, Yale University, and many colleges nationwide. So, you know, because during the course of action, I saw more and more like radical left, you know, they launch assault our America's founding principle, like censorship, cancel culture, right? Rewriting history. So that alarmed me, motivated me to run for the public office. So that's basically my short story.
A week ago on this show for his second appearance, Kitty Xu was on. And do you know him? Because he also is very active in, you know, fighting for equality for the Asian community in higher learning in Harvard and Yale and these. Do you know him?
I guess like, you know, many support. I don't know him directly, but the like, Harvard year, basically, I, you know, in 2015, we formed an organization called Asian American Coalition for yes. Education. We supported the like Students for Fair Admissions lawsuits against Harvard. So ever since that, you know, we are a leading organization fighting against that. But there are many, many organizations nationwide supported us, joined us. Probably he is one of them, you know.
Understood. So I guess this case goes to the Supreme Court, I think, in November.
Actually, the hearing is October the 31st, and okay. It's already been announced. Yeah.
Good. Well, we want to stay on top of that, and I hope that this gets sorted out, because you guys are being treated unfairly on this, and you point out, well, actually, we'll hold on to this, because I've got a larger point on the other side. I'm speaking with Mike Zhao, and this is TNT. We're going to take our first commercial break of the show of this hour, and we'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell.
My worldview tends to be around a set of core values. And in many ways, the postmodern cultural Marxist way of approaching things is to disrupt core values. In other words, nothing means anything anymore. Question everything. You can have 546 genders. White people are evil. Black people can't be racist. And so on and so forth. The entire fabric of reality gets destroyed if you allow too much liberal thinking.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently. Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Mike Zhao is my guest this hour. He is a Republican candidate for the Florida House District 45, and he is also the co-founder and president of the Asian American Coalition for Education. And Mike, somewhere on one of the websites, I read that the Asian community is the most highly educated community and highest earners in the U.S.
Yes, that is correct. That was written by the Pew Research Center in 2012, a report called Rise of Asian Americans.
That is impressive.
Thank you, but that disproves the liberals' claims that there is systemic racism in this country, because if that is the case, why people of color, Asian American, can become the highest income and the best educated racial group, why not white, right?
That is a very good point.
I have written in my book about this.
And now you are running for office, and I hope that the campaign is doing well. I mean, you've got a huge list of accomplishments. You came here with $200. Where did you come into New York City? Where did you come into the States when you came here?
I came to Virginia Tech first, Blacksburg, Virginia. It's a beautiful college in the mountains. I really enjoy it very much, you know. So yeah, my campaign went well. I want to tell you, you know, out of the 10 doors I visited, right, 6 of them said they are going to support me, vote for me, right? My life story, my qualification, really, I think, prove I'm the most best qualified candidate in this race.
Well, I want to vote for you. If I lived in Florida, I'd be on board voting for you right now. And you've been a staunch conservative the whole time, and when you look at the U.S. right now, coming from where you came from, you've got to be slightly disappointed to see how we've fallen. Let me ask you something else, because this is recent current news, and I certainly had a lot to say about this. What did you think of the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, just going to Taiwan and, I thought, starting trouble? What do you think?
You know, I think America, we should build a very large alliance, right? So, Number one, when she go to Taiwan to show our strong support to Taiwan, I think, we probably should do that. But I'm, troubling by her recently under Chinese government pressure. She recently said, China is one of the, freest nation on earth. That's ridiculous, So, I really want we have a strong alliance among all the democracy,
Understood. Well, all I was going to say is nobody was clamoring for her to do that. She's not part of the executive branch, which typically deals with issues of diplomacy. Now we find out her son. Now we find out her son went with her, and he's very involved. I guess he's part of a lithium mining company. I don't know. I thought it was inappropriate. I'm not trying to take China's side on this. I think that it endangered us and Taiwan and our allies in Japan. It's just kind of like poking China. I thought it was irresponsible, and she should not have done it.
I agree with you. I think right now we should focus on against Russia and then defeat Russia first, right? We should not create too many enemies at the same time, right? We should do step by step.
Yeah. And listen, I don't have to like Russia or China. I respect them because they're superpowers. And I'm more concerned about America. And, I want us to get our own house in order first. And then once we do that, I'm not saying that we don't help other people when they ask for it, but unfortunately the U.S. tends to inject itself into things that we don't need to do. Meanwhile, we're leaving our southern border completely wide open. Anybody can come in. So I don't know. It just bothered me because my feelings about Russia and China don't really matter. It's just, I want to be pro-America and I want to focus our efforts on us.
Exactly. That's also my purpose. When I wrote this book, right, I focus on, preventing America from repeating the disastrous Cultural Revolution of China, right? When I saw the radical left launch Black Lives Matter violent demonstration, when they topped down our the statue of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, when they banned the book, when they use the cancel culture to silence the oppositions, I got worried. I was scared. So in 2020, I think I was the first, called out as America's Cultural Revolution. I wrote an op-ed at Daily Caller in June of 11th of 2020. I also want to tell the audience, many Chinese Americans like me who suffered Chinese Cultural Revolution also spoke out, also shared my view. And as all of us worry about another Cultural Revolution is happening in America, that is very dangerous.
That's what it looks like. And I have to wonder, Mike, it's I don't know how many people within our 330 million people that are in the U.S. are on board with this. I don't think it's as many as we are being made to believe, but unfortunately, they've got the media on their side. They've got a party in power that between the two, they can amplify this message to where it looks more influential than it really is. I think most Americans are kind of, in the middle. It's they want to take care of their family. They want to make money. They want to give to their kids better than they had. So I don't think that most Americans want this massive cultural change, but it does seem to be happening anyway.
That's very unfortunately. Also, actually, in my book, I pretty much revealed the radical left uses the communist China Maoist playbook to destroy America. The first thing I point out, they use the Marxist lie to establish moral authority. You mentioned they got support from the media. Why is that? Because they claim, all the cultural change, social change is to help the poor, help the disadvantaged communities. That a lot of our lies. Actually, in my book, I point out an example that, each year, like the basically in 2019, the police killed around between 15 or 17 unarmed black, right? That only take only 0.2% a total black being homicide that year. But in the same year, each day, our veteran suicide is around 17 or 15, right? Each day.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, that year, we have almost 100,000 people died from drug abuse, right? So there are much more serious issue, but like, you know, killing like a dozen, you know, of like unarmed like black, most are caused by they refuse to like cooperate with the police, right? So that they exaggerate that, claim that systemic like racism against black. So that is the media uses sensational, that kind of things to really to support their lie, right? That is totally lie. You know, so that is things for many lies, example, like Michael Brown, hands up, right? Don't shoot is another lie. You know, Jesse Smollett is another lie. In my book, right. I point out a lot of lies.
That you're right about that. Mike, let's hang on. I got to take a little quick news break here at the bottom of the hour. I'm speaking with Mike Zhao. This is TNT. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Indian traders have reportedly been settling payments for Russian coal in an effort to skirt Western sanctions imposed on Moscow in recent months in response to its latest war with Ukraine. American solar energy companies are having difficulty complying with a law that went into effect in June, requiring importers to prove their goods are not tainted with slave labor from the oppressed Uyghur Muslims of China's Xinjiang province.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are speaking with Mike Zhao, and he was also the former director of global planning for Siemens Energy. So I want to talk a little bit about also this Inflation Act that is about to be passed, because supposedly, you know, we're going to give money to people for their EV cars and little tax rebates for their solar panels and such. But I mean, you've been in the energy game and you understand it very well. First of all, just quickly, what aspect of energy did Siemens deal with? Were you guys petroleum? Were you electric? What did Siemens do?
Basically, we provide a power generation equipment across many industries, like for electricity, also for oil and gas, also for like renewables, right? So it's broad. Siemens is among the three major players in the power generation industry. Yeah. So basically, my take on this is, you know, number one, fossil energy is still the backbone. You know, like example, if like for our power grid, we really need either fossil or nuclear, and also, you know, probably both, and also some hydro, right? To really this kind of stable energy to support the grid. Currently, the solar and wind, they're coming on and off. If we purely rely them on them, our like grid will not be stable. Our like lights will be flashing all the time. So that's not good, okay? So, but I do support renewable, but with two conditions. Number one is need to be technologically feasible, right? If it's feasible technically. Number two is economically justifiable. We should not use taxpayers' money to overly, you know, subsidize some renewables, right? So the taxpayers' money should fund for R&D, to fund cheaper solutions, renewable solutions, to make it become economically justifiable. But throwing so much money into the, you know, subsidizing that, I don't think it makes sense.
I agree as well. And I think that people sometimes that are all enamored with this are really just not doing some of the critical homework. It's like, listen, that electric car, really, it's just a storage unit. You're storing energy that's made from something else, and that energy has to come from something else. And it's usually coming out of the ground.
Absolutely. Example, using the put ethanol in the gas price, use the green to make the ethanol, right? The end of the day, the whole value chain, we do not really save a lot of green energy. It actually drive up the food price. There's many things, unfortunately, America is doing is not really wise. We should really go back to the practical solution, not driven by ideology. Actually, one chapter of my book really focuses on the communism and also radical left. They all use ideology, not use the practical solution to govern. So that is one similarity between China, and also America.
And all of us, and I'm sure Mike is in agreement, it's like, yes, we all want a cleaner solution, but we want it to be practical, we want it to be economical, and we want it to make sense. And then there, that just seems like the way to do it, and not to expect these immediate results like, oh, we're immediately going to, phase out fossil fuels and coal and these things. It just doesn't work like that, because there is a ramp up to the point where you can actually do that. And I'm not saying don't have solar. I'm not saying don't have wind. But as Mike said, it has to be economically and technologically feasible first.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk about some other things that you were about in, because you've got a lot of solutions. And we're going to get this positive now. And you defend America's founding principles. You are pro-life, you're pro-First and Second Amendment. Let's talk about that. I like all of that.
Sure. I want to tell you from my heart, because I grew up in a nation that's no freedom of speech, right? We had a huge lesson about that. Like in 1958, Chinese dictator Chairman Mao, he launched called the anti-racist campaign, put many hundreds of thousands of outspoken intellectuals into concentration camp, silent opposition. So after that, no one was able to challenge his opinion. Everybody just told him, what he liked to listen. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, he launched a Great Leap Forward and a disastrous economic policy and starved over 30 million people to death. That is a great example. Also, about 6 years later, he launched a Cultural Revolution, silenced almost everybody, have a slightly different opinion. So this kind of disaster I live through. That's the reason I'm a very strong defender of the freedom of speech. In 2019, already published article, says the freedom of speech is the foundation of democracy. Complex social issues should be addressed by taking into account different perspectives, not by unifying thoughts. So that is the first amendment, right? The second amendment, as Asian American, right? In many places, we run small shops, hotels, restaurants, but many times we are altered, because Asian are very short, are not very big, right? We're altered. You're really by, taking advantage by very big criminals. So the gun is really the equalizer. The gun mm-hmm. is a protection. So I'm against giving guns to criminals or people have right. mental problems.
Of course.
But having gun is very important. Also, I'm a pro-life. I believe the life, started with inception, but I do recognize, that situation, the mother in danger, also insects or like rape case, right? So in this case, I support our great governor, like in Florida, signing the 15 a week, that kind of bill, right? So, so I guess, my position, I want to say, is in terms of defend Americans' funding principles, I'm very conservative. However, in terms of like environmental immigration, I'm a very reasonable, moderate example.
Say,
immigration, I like to have legal immigrants, right? I'm against illegal, right? For legal immigrants, I have the two conditions. Number one, somebody can contribute to this country. Number two, somebody support our American value, right? So yes. that is kind of, we also talk about renewable. So that is pretty much my political, platform.
One thing you talk about, at least in the Chinese community, but I think it's probably true for much of Asian communities. It's like when you come to the U.S., you assimilate, you embrace those things that you came here for, the system, but you also are able to retain your own culture, and those things can coexist. And sometimes when people immigrate to a country and they don't want to assimilate, there is that division. But I certainly don't see it with Asian communities. I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I want to tell you, the essence of all success is called best practice sharing. That, when I was at Siemens over 20 years, we always do benchmarking, learn from like strengths from our competitors, right? When we come to this great nation, we knew, in Western culture, that we have democracy, we have rule of law, right? Free market system, a lot of wonderful like practice. So we, we really cherish that. We support that, right? But in the meantime, in terms of parenting, in terms of how to do education, in terms of how to manage your money, taking care of your family, in our culture, we have some strengths there. They want to keep that, right? So, so that's the reason I'm against the politically correct diversity, which do not really promote best practice. If some minority group have this problem, that problem, they don't want to challenge that. But they just say, okay, we want a diversity. But I think to really help them, improve their education, living standard, we need to share the best practice. So that's the only way to bring the country together, bring the different racial group together, not just balkanized, use the label, racial label to divide this country further and further.
We are completely on the same page, Mike. Completely. You talk about protecting Floridians' constitutional rights. And since I'm not from Florida, I don't know which ones you're talking about. Are they different than some of the American rights? Do you guys have some issues that are being contested down there, or do you just mean the same rights that we're all talking about, but for Floridians?
Basically, the same rights. I think, under our great leadership of our Governor DeSantis, right?
I like
it. We're really upfront, really protecting American rights, like freedom of speech, right? Also rejecting the sexual grooming of our young children, right? In many fronts, also fighting against indoctrination, right? So many areas, actually, it's written in our great constitution. So what I'm talking about, but because I'm running for Florida, House,
yes,
so I do not want to say protect all the American rights. What I can do is do my best to protect Floridian rights.
And I'm sure you will. And so Governor DeSantis, I like him. And I know that you are a supporter. And to me, when I look at Governor DeSantis, I just think, well, that's a pretty good model right there. It's like, why can't we have more guys like him? I mean, he's plain spoken. I think he's sincere. He's got, I don't curse on the air, but he's got testicular fortitude. Let's say that. And he's got backbone, and I'm an admirer. I like Governor DeSantis a lot.
Sure, and the two things I like him most. Number one, he takes the proactive action fighting against indoctrination, the liberal and radical left agenda, right? Actually, yeah. He established called the Victim of Communist Day. I personally thanked him for that. And that is one, point one. And number one. Point number two, I like he takes a very practical solution to address issue like COVID-19. Florida has the largest senior population, more than New York, right? When the COVID-19 comes, he protects them first, right? Vigorously protect them. But in the meantime, he allows the economy open up, right? So he's in the two end. So in the two points, based on these two points, I like him very much. I want to go to Tallahassee to support him.
I like that. I'm speaking with Mike Zhao. He is running for office in Florida as a Republican. We want to support him. We're going to take our final break of the day, of this week, here on Deep Program on TNT, and we'll be back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In case anyone is still unclear about what is meant by the deep state or the DC swamp, consider this. Federal magistrate Bruce Reinhardt, who signed off on the FBI's warrant request so that it could send 36 jackbooted thugs marching through Mar-a-Lago Monday and rifling Melania's closet, had to recuse himself from the Trump versus Hillary Clinton civil suit back in June. Judges have to recuse themselves from cases where either there's a conflict of interest or an inherent bias against one of the parties. So he had to recuse himself in June, but in August he's competent to sign a search warrant for the president's private residence. That's grounds for impeachment, and it's grounds for disbarment. Meanwhile, Eric Holder was out Monday telling lies about President Trump and justifying this search warrant. Make no mistake, Joe Biden is not running the country. This is Obama's third administration. Trump 47 needs to be much more ruthless than Trump 45 ever was. No more deep staters in high positions. Looking at you, Christopher Wray, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. No more, these are nice people, I'd hate to see them get hurt. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Gloves off, Mr. President. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
St. Joseph's Indian School is much more than a school for Native American children.
It's like a family. Classes are fun here. I am learning about my culture.
Since 1927, St. Joseph's Indian School has provided children the education, health care, and support they need to succeed. To help give our kids brighter futures, learn more at stjo.org today.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
According to the Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute, CRERI, 2020 election funding from Mark Zuckerberg's favored nonprofits, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR, had nothing to do with traditional campaign finance. It had to do with financing the infiltration of election offices at the city and county level by left-wing activists and using those offices as a platform to implement preferred administrative practices, voting methods, and data sharing agreements, as well as to launch intensive outreach campaigns in areas heavy with Democratic voters. In Wisconsin, an investigation uncovered that a left-wing activist connected to CTCL gained access to ballot rooms in Green Bay and helped determine how to handle ballots. CTCL agents in Georgia paid ballot counters and trained poll watchers. In Philadelphia, CTCL pushed the city to deploy ballot drop boxes, allowed for ballot curing unavailable to Republican counties, and even paid election judges, according to the Amistad Project.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free
from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right, folks, this is our last segment. I'm speaking with Mike Zhao. He is running for the Florida House, District 45, as a Republican, and I'm on his website right now if you would like to visit it, and we hope that you do. It is Mike Zhao for Florida, MikeZhaoForFlorida.com, and you spell his last name Z-H-A-O. When I go to his issues and solutions, because he's got a lot of very practical ideas laid out, experience on one side, solutions on the other. Mike, you have some really good ideas regarding education, and you want people to develop their skills because, and I agree with you, one of the things you talk about is introducing life skills education to Florida's middle schoolers and high schoolers to teach them how to manage money and develop social skills to reject drugs and crimes. And that's one thing, like, that makes so much sense. Just practical. That's another reason to lose all the CRT and the 1619. Move all that out of the way and let's teach people how to balance a checkbook.
That's exactly right. Also, the one, you know, if you look at the so-called racial performance gap, it's not really caused by the skin color. It's really right. caused by some difference of like parenting, the home culture, right? I think this solution really will help lift millions of people from poverty, from drug, from crime, and really, I want to say, eliminate a recruiting ground for radical left. You know, it will help people improving the life, like living standard. Also, really, that way have a big blow against the radical left. You know, if the more people have living in the happy life, and the better, right? That is the essence, as I said, is best practice here.
And I like this. It says, you also have, it says support occupational training and workforce development. And I've said on the show many times, it's like, listen, not everybody needs to go to college because we also need trades. We need skilled workmen who work with their hands and do things. So I think that's part of what you're saying here as well. It's like, let's develop the entire workforce because a diversity of jobs is important and there's a lot of jobs that need to be filled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, very importantly, we need to align Florida education to the 21st century needs. Right now, we need a lot of high tech, right? If we lose high tech leadership in the world, you know, if we have another war against Russia, against other countries, we may be, you know, we may not be able to defeat them. Right now, what makes us successful is really our high tech leadership. And today, I want to share the, you know, the unpleasant truth is in the all the high tech companies, I guarantee over 50% of engineers are foreign trained, foreign educated. We need to make up this gap. You know, that's something I want to, you know, promote.
I just want to make sure I heard that correctly. You said most of these high tech companies, their engineering employees, probably 40% of them are foreign trained.
No, over 50 are foreign.
Over 50.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not good. We could definitely do better than that. And education is the key. And we've got to make our youth want to be something besides athletes or our YouTube stars and want to seek these high tech occupations.
Exactly. We really cannot, there's limited space for athletes. There's limited space for the, yeah, like for the movie stars, right? But right, like we need millions of engineers in our country. So they offer example like a graduate from software engineering country can get $100,000 or higher in a pay. So that is the kind of job we should encourage our children to pursue.
Absolutely. So, well, I mean, everything that you've got on here that I'm seeing makes a lot of sense. So I wish you well. How has the campaign been going?
I think, as I said earlier, I'm probably, you know, I get a very good support out of 10 voters I spoke to. Six of them want to support me. I'm also the only candidate who can provide the experience, the records to support my policy. All other candidates are unable to really provide the like this records. So if I'm, you know, this standpoint, I hope, you know, more voter will study the records, each candidate records, and finally make the right decision, which is elect the best qualified candidates for in this race, which I believe is me.
Well, you are probably correct. And we have a few minutes left. And so I want to yield the floor to you. Anything that you'd like to tell my audience and to the people that want to know more about you and why they should vote for you, you have the floor for a few minutes.
I guess voting, as I said, you know, I'm the best qualified candidate. I have no scandal, no any issues. So please vote for me. But also I want to also bring up my book, right? The book please. Is very important. Number one is compared what's going on in America with what's happened in China 50 years ago, which is huge disastrous, right? Millions of people died from Cultural Revolution, economy run into collapse. And so that things we don't want to repeat. And in my book, I outline, you know, basically radical left use the same playbook communists use in China. Right now is destroying America. I also, you know, in the conclusion chapter, also outline the conclusion, the dire consequence of our nation if we allow the woke culture and also the critical race theory to prevail. For example, our country, our nation will be divided as a racial identity and focused on racial struggle, internal fighting. Our country become a country lose technology leadership. Our country an economic prosperity. Our country become an oppressive nation, use censorship, cancel culture, and the violence to silence its oppositions, right? And a country will have unequal treatment, treat some racial group with favor, some racial group with discrimination. A country lose our great cultural history and cultural heritage. So we should not allow that happen. So I encourage all the people, you know, if you don't want the repeat of this history, buy my book. Also, especially the younger generation, if the young American read my book, learn the consequence that they will have immunity to reject the indoctrination by the radical left.
The name of the book is Critical Race Theory and Woke Culture, America's Dangerous Repeat of China's Cultural Revolution. It's written by Mike Zhao, our guest. And Mike, I mean, our studio, our company is based in Australia. And so it's not just Americans that hear this show. And I've said it before, and I would, with what you're describing, if America were to fall into a new socialist type of situation, it is a global loss. It's not just a loss for Americans. It is a loss for the entire globe, and we ain't perfect, but we've done good things and we've had leadership in the past, and we cannot let ourselves just dissolve into a Marxist socialist cesspool.
Absolutely. That's the reason, you know, I came to America, choose America as my new home, right? If America falls, I have no other place to go. I don't want my children live through what I endured 50 years ago. That's the reason I have written this book. That's the reason I'm running for the office. So that's the whole purpose. I also want to add one point. In this book, I wrote it not only based on my personal experience. I cited 200 data and facts. I also have almost 50 pictures inserted. So from this, you know, the reader can really like found that, you know, my, you know, message is very compelling. You know, we need to take action fighting against the critical race theory, fighting against woke culture.
Mike, I wish you the best of luck in this race. I hope that people buy your book. I hope that you win. It is Mike Zhao for the Florida House, District 45, and you can go to his website, MikeZhaoForFlorida.com. Mike, I thank you for everything you've done. You're an inspiration, and thank you for believing in America, man. It makes me feel good.
Thank you very much. It is a great pleasure speaking with you.
Well, we'll have you back, and we're going to be watching you. We hope you win, and thank you for everything you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close out the week. That was an inspirational story that we need to take to heart. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you to TNT. Thank you to Alex and Dave for producing, and I will see you on Monday in the new world. All right? Peace.